Right. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf tes Zion in Zvachim. Okay. We're going to hopefully make our way fully to back to where we should be. We're starting this morning on tes Vav Amud Aleph, and we are starting five lines from the bottom. The first wide line towards the bottom. Five lines from the bottom. The last two words. Halichu Zar. Okay. We are finishing up the first paragraph right now of Zvachim. And in our conclusion of the first perek, we have been discussing halacha. This is our second daf now that we've been talking about halacha. Right? How do we get onto this topic? Because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that when it comes to the world of halacha, subject to a machlokas tanaim, whether or not halacha is even an avoda. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah back on Yud Gimel is quoted as saying that halacha is not an avoda. It's not. Right? Because it's avoidable, and you could shecht right next to the mizbech, and you could sprinkle right onto the mizbech, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, halacha is not an avoda. If you had any machshava of shinui kodesh, shinui balim, of pigol, right, any machshava during the halacha, it's inconsequential, it's just simply not a machshava. Okay, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and that's how we got into this whole discussion of halacha. The Tanakhama obviously disagrees, and the Tanakhama says, no, halacha is an avoda, and any time that you have a machshava during the halacha, it therefore is regarded as a machshava with the ability, potentially, to disqualify the animal. Good. Okay, that's what we've seen so far in the Mishnah. The Gemara had a number of discussions. We discussed yesterday halacha without walking, right? Meaning, what if you just pass something without walking? Is that considered a halacha? So what the Gemara referred to as halacha shelo beregel, right? The Gemara further attempted to redefine the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim regarding halacha rabasi versus halacha zutrasi, big halacha versus little halacha. Okay, good. That's an overview of what we've been discussing these past couple of days. The Gemara now is going to finish up the first perek with an interesting discussion. Five lines from the bottom, we're going to begin. Holichu zar ve'echziru kohen v'chazeva holichu. How about retracing your steps, right? You had a non-Kohen who did the halacha. So he, after shechting the animal, collecting the blood, so a non-Kohen took the blood and brought it close to the Mizbech. So he did the halacha. Let's assume now we're not going like like Rabbi Shimon. Let's assume we're going like the Chachamim. Let's entertain this discussion within the opinion of the Chachamim. So, at that point in time, you would say that's no good. But what if you do the following? What if you then take the blood back to where the area where you shechted it, and now you give it to a Kohen, and you allow the Kohen to retrace the steps. So can you get a, right, I don't know how many people here speak golf, but can you get a mulligan on halacha, right? Or let's put it in, you know, non-golf terminology, can you retrace your steps? And can you say, look, I know that a non-Kohen did the halacha the first time around, but we'll do it again, and we'll give it to a Kohen, and we'll allow a Kohen to do it again. All right, so that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says it's subject to a debate. Pligi ba b'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yanai. So the Machlokas Amarayim, the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yanai, chad amar kasha v'chad amar pasul. So the Gemara says one says it's okay, one says it's not okay. Now Mar Savar, the Gemara gives what seems to be a very straightforward svara. Mar Savar efshal l'tikuna, Mar Savar lo efshal l'tikuna. So the issue is, says the Gemara, right, very straightforward svara. One says you could be misakin, you could fix it. In other words, you messed it up, but it's easy to fix. Just do halacha again. And the other one says no, lo efshal l'tikuna. No, you can't fix it. Once done, it can't be undone. So if the halacha was done by non kohen, done, finished. Okay. So that's the Gemara's presentation of a machlokas in the svara. Okay. The Gemara then says, let's go one step further. Okay. So far we've seen a machlok is whether or not you can undo a bad holacha. So the Gemara says, let's go the other way around. Holichu kohen v'hichzir v'chazav holichu zar. Let's reverse the scenario. Let's say a kohen did the first holacha. So that means shechted an animal, collected the blood in a bowl, walked the bowl over to the mizbech. Kohen did it, right? Then blood was brought back to the point of shechting, and a non-Kohen did it. Now what are you going to say over here? So in the first discussion the Gemara just had previously. We had a non-Kohen do it, and then a Kohen do it. And we had a Machlokas. So the Gemara over here says, in the reverse case, we would then reverse everyone's opinion. Right? So the Gemara says, let's think this through. Let's go with the one who says that it's machshir in the first case. What does that mean? Okay, in the first case, it's non-Kohen, Kohen. Non-Kohen does a holacha, blood's brought back, then Kohen does a holacha. What does that show you? It shows you that the last holacha is the one that counts. It's the one that ultimately got the blood from the makom shechita to the mizbeach. It's the second one that counts. So, good. He says it's kosher. If I would have reversed the order, if I would now have Kohen, non-Kohen, so then he would say it's puzzle. Because I look at, ultimately, how did it get here? It got here via non-Kohen. That's a zara. Non-Kohen did the holacha. Good. And let's go to the other opinion. The other opinion says, let's go to the first case. A non-Kohen did the holacha. And then we brought it back and we had a Kohen do it. And he says it's puzzle. Why? Because you can't undo what was done. Once the first Kohen did the holacha, that's it. It's registered, it's recorded, that's done. The second one can't undo it. Similarly, now if I reverse the order, if I have a Kohen, non-Kohen, so then he would say it's okay. Because I look at the first way it got there. The first way it got there was via Kohen. The second way that it got there was a non-Kohen, but we don't care. Meaning we look at the first way that it gets there. So, the Gemara presents over here what seems to be a strong argument. That whatever position you take on the first order of non-Kohen, Kohen, you're obviously going to take the opposite position in the other way. Kohen, non-Kohen. Good. Rava Amar Afla Divrei Apostle, Apostle. And Rava says, no, not necessarily. They're not inversely correlated. My time of dahat sarach la'am tuye. Because once you bring it back to the makom shechita, it's got to get to the mizbeach. So what are you going to do? You're going to ignore the fact that it's got to get back to the mizbeach, and, right? It needs holacha, and since it needs holacha, so then if a non-Kohen were to do it, boom, he disqualifies it. Okay, so the Gemara now is in this reverse scenario. Of you have Kohen, non-Kohen, and do we say that in the second halacha, is it a pasul or isn't it a pasul? And the Gemara now has presented two opinions.
These two cases are not exactly...
Wait, which one at a time? No, it's fine. I'm good, but I can't handle two questions at one time.
These two cases are not exactly the same.
Go ahead.
Because in the first case, the Tzar brought it, and the Kohen brought it back. And in the second case, it's the Kohen that brought it and brought it back.
Right, so I don't know, I hear you, I don't know if there's significance in who brought it back. You're suggesting there is.
I'm suggesting in the first case he's undoing what his original action.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't take that into consideration. Okay. Good. Yeah.
I was just saying it's a common argument, right.
That's it. Right. Simple and straightforward way to explain what's going on over here. Who's correct. I mean, again, it goes back to this. You know, part of why we struggle so much with halacha, and the Gemara has spent now 2 days of Daf Yomi discussing halacha, is because essentially what the Gemara wants to know is halacha an avoda in the ceremonial sense? Meaning, the march from the place I shech to the mizbeach, is that like a ceremonial thing? Or is that just functional? Meaning, I just simply need to get it from point A to point B. Right? And essentially, that's what the Gemara is saying. If it's really functional, so then I'm going to have to look at, how am I going to get it from here to there? If halacha is functional, if it's just meaning to say I need to get from here to there, so then I have to look at the second halacha. Because how else am I getting it from here to there? If it's more ceremonial, right? I don't really mean ceremonial. I just don't have a better word to describe it. But if it's not functional, I'll say it again. If it's ceremonial, so then maybe I can ignore the second halacha. Because the first one was done already. Okay,
What's the default position? Is it the substance over form or the form?
Right, that's essentially right. Again, so it's, I'm presenting it more or less the same way. Remember, what is halacha? Is it just functional, or is it something more to it than just that? Amar lei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rav Ashi. Hachem Rav Yirmiyahu midifte hatzarich lamtuye machlokes Rav Elazar Rabbanan. The Gemara now would like to suggest this issue of, look, do I need to get it from point A to point B? That seems to be a machlokas that takes place in the Mishnah. Now, if we go back to the Mishnah for just a moment, right, which is all the way back on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah over there brought in a third opinion, right, which we have not yet even discussed in the Gemara. Right, there was first the opinion of the Chachamim, which halacha is an avoda. Then there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, halacha is not an avoda. So there are your two extreme positions. And then the Mishnah brought in a third opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer says it depends. If it's necessary, it's a halacha. If it's not necessary, it's not a halacha. So he kind of has a middle approach, a middle position, whether or not it's a necessity or not. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Now, your question has been on my mind now for a couple of days. Because after learning the Gemara earlier said, right, it was the opinion of Reish Lakish. Okay, am I correct? I think I am. Okay? That Reish Lakish says that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you need it, so then it's a halacha. Right? The example that Gemara gave earlier was the chatas hapnimi, right? The inner chatas. And there the Gemara said, I'm right. It's on Yud Amud Aleph, right? We did a couple days ago. Reish Lakish says, right? If you need to get it from point A to point B and there's no way to do it other than halacha, so then halacha there is significant. Okay? So, I have a way to distinguish between the two, but let me... Okay. I'll just move ahead in the Gemara right now and maybe afterwards I'll make a suggestion to you. Right? After hours. So So the Gemara now wants to suggest that maybe the machlok. Wait, there are obviously some debate between Rabbi Lazar and the Tanakhama. Okay? So what's the debate? So the Gemara would like to suggest it goes like this. So again, we're on Tezvav Amud Beis, and I'm just going to reread again. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu Rav Ashi Hacham Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti Hatzarich Lamtuya Machlokis Rabbi Eliezer V'Rabbanan. This very issue, meaning it was brought to the Mizbeach, somebody then brought it back to the place where you shechted it, or for that matter, anywhere else in the Azara. And now you need to bring it back again. So on the second round of Halacha, is that a Halacha or not? So the Gemara would like to suggest that some machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Lazar. Did not, because again, the Gemara now is going to review the Mishnah with us. Rabbi Lazar, Omer HaMalach, Mamakon Shesarech Lahalach Machshava Poselas. Mamakon Shein Shesarech Lahalach Ein Machshava Poselas. V'amar Rava, so now after quoting Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah, the Gemara says, HaKomodim Kiblu Bachutz, if you're Mekabel Bachutz. Bachutz over here, don't get confused, because I did. Right? Bachutz over here doesn't mean outside the Beis HaMikdash. Can't mean that. And it does not mean outside the Azara. Bachutz over here just simply means somewhere distant to the Mizbeach. So you were Mekabel, you accepted the blood distant from the Mizbeach, V'hichnisu Bifnim, and you had to walk it proximate to the Mizbeach. Zehu Hiluch Shetzarech Lahalech. That's necessary. Kiblu bifnim. However, if you accepted the blood right next to the mizbeach, v'hosia lechutz, and somebody walked it distant to the mizbeach, zehu yiluch she'ein tzarich. That was unnecessary. It was totally unnecessary. And I know, I understand now that you got to bring it back. You're not sprinkling it. You know, you're not doing a 10-foot sprinkle. Right? You're going to walk it back. But that was unnecessary. Nobody needed to have walked it away in order to walk it back. So lo nechluku. So I'm sorry. Lahal kiblu b'fnim v'atzil chutz. That we look shein sarach lahalech. Lo nechluku ela kishehichnisu v'chazer v'hotziu. So the Gemara says the whole machlokus between the Chacham and Rebbe Lazar is in the case where I walked it to the mizbeach. Somebody walked it back, and now we're in round two, walking into the mizbeach one more time. So the Chachamim say, look, day's over, when all said and done, I got to walk it back. That's halacha. And the other opinion, meaning the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, says that's enot tzarech. Not necessary. Again, not necessary needs to be better understood. What does that mean, not necessary? It was already walked to the Mizbeach. The fact that it was walked back and needs to be, and you're retracing your steps, but that wasn't necessary. The Gemara, hold on a second. The Gemara is suggesting that this is the machlokus between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer. Eisvei, the Gemara says, I'm not buying into this. The Gemara challenges. Eisvei Abai, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Amalach, Makom Shetzerach Lahalach, Machshava Poselis, Ketzad. And here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa over here gives a very concrete example of what Rabbi Eliezer is talking about. Kiblu b'chutz, you accepted the blood, v'hichnisu lifnim, you walked the blood to the mizbech, zehu hilach shetzarach lahalech. That's necessary. Kiblu b'fnim, if you accepted the blood right next to the mizbech, v'hotzio l'chutz, and you walked it away from the mizbech, zehu hilach she'in tzarach leilech. That was unnecessary. Not what Rava was suggesting. Rava was suggesting, well, you brought it close to the Mizbeach, then someone brought it back and you retraced your step. No! We're talking about a case where you shechted right next to the Mizbeach and someone then moved it away from the Mizbeach. But no halacha was done as of yet. Still, Rabbi Eliezer calls that Eino Tzarech, not necessary. So Amalei Itanya Tanya. So he says to him, look, you quoted a Braisa. If the Braisa is a Braisa, meaning I didn't know about that Braisa, but once you quote that Braisa, Itanya Tanya, I have to accept it. The Braisa says that Rabbi Eliezer argues, even in the case where you shechted right next to the Mizbech, and someone then walked it away, and Rabbi Eliezer says that still, Eino Tzarech. That wasn't necessary, and therefore that's not considered Halacha. Good. Okay. Questions? Right, Hajon Alach Kol HaZvachim, that is the end of the first perek of Zvachim. Truth be told, I mean, once you, right, good for, first perek is now in the book, so to say, and we'll come back to it and we'll review it short 7.5 years from now. that's all. Not so bad. The first perek really spent most of its time talking about Shinui Kodesh. We spent the bulk of the first perek talking about having a change of designation of the animal, where the animal is a shlamim yusam shechni l'shem ola, right, the shalol l'shma, that's most of the first perek, and the last three blot of the perek has been discussing this issue of halacha, of walking the blood to the mizbeach. Okay? In terms of what? Halacha, it's an avoda. It is an avoda. We call it, we don't pass like, right, we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, we pass like the Chachamim. Halacha is an avoda, therefore a machshava ra'a by the halacha will disqualify the animal if it's a chatas or if it's a pesach. We start now the second parak of Zvachim, called Zvachim Shekiblu Daman. Zar, Onen, Tfulyam Mechusa, Kippur Mechusa Begadim, Shalom Rachas Yadayim Veragalayim, Aro Tame Yoshev, Omed Agabe Kelim, Agabe Behema, Agabe Ragle Chavero, Pasol. So any carbon where the blood was accepted, the blood was collected by any of these people, I'm going to go through each one of them, so the Gemara says that's pasul, that's disqualified. So why does the Mishnah over here start by Kabbalas Adam, by the receiving of the blood? Very simple, because we learned already, shechting of a carbon can be done by a non-Kohen. Shechita is kosher bizarre. We saw yesterday, the Gemara say that Shechita is lav avoda. Shechita is not an avoda, okay? And again, I pointed out yesterday, one of the more important lines of the first parak of Zvachim, that Shechita is really different than the other avodas. All the four avodas, right, we look at them collectively, but each one has a unique aspect to them. Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. So here, when the Mishnah now is discussing the disqualified people who cannot do the avoda, so it can't start with Shechita, because Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. So therefore, when our Mishnah starts and talks about these people, if they do the avoda, it disqualifies, so it's going to start from avoda number two. Right? It's going to start with the avoda of Kabbalah Saddam. So you shech the animal, immediately upon taking a knife and making an incision into the neck, cutting the two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus. Now obviously there's going to be blood coming out as well. You've hit some major blood vessels in the neck. Blood's going to be running out of the neck of the animal, and you collect that blood, what the Gemara calls the Dam HaNefesh, you collect that blood into a bowl, and you're going to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, so good. So we're at Avoda number two, we're at the Avoda of Kabbalah Saddam. These people, which we're going to go through now one by one, if they do it, this Avoda, disqualify the Karban. And they are, number one, Zar, a non-Kohen. So when non-Kohen is involved at this stage of the game, he disqualifies the carbon. Number two, Onain. Onain is somebody... Okay, now we talk about Aninus, so it's a little bit confusing, and I'm going to try to unconfuse. When we're talking about Avelus nowadays, so that stage where immediately after the death of the Karov of the relative, to the point of Kvura, so we call that person his state of Aninus. He's an Onain. Right? During that period of time, he's part of mitzvos, he's exempt from doing mitzvos, right? He doesn't daven, he doesn't put on tefillin, right? Bigger discussions about Netilas Yadayim, and, alright, but anyway, but the, fine, so the, but he's part of mitzvos, and that's what we call in our daily discussion of an onain. In the avoda, we're talking now, we're in Zvachim right now, so when I say onain, you have to redefine, because it's not the same definition. It's similar, but it's not the same. Onain in our discussion that we're going to have over here throughout pretty much all of Kachim is on the day of death, meaning that the Kohen loses a relative. On the Yom HaMisa, on the day of death, he's an Onain for the balance of that day. Even if the funeral is done on that very day. He's an Onain that whole day. He cannot eat kachim, he can't eat karbon, and he can't do the avoda. Okay, we'll see later on the Masechta, there's a major machlokas. Does the onain status go through the night as well? Subject to a machlokas tanayim. But certainly everybody agrees that for that day, for the Yom HaMisa, he is an onain, he cannot do the avoda. One person can do the avoda while he's an onain, and that would be the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol can do avoda while he's an Onain. Okay, he's the exception to the rule, but all other Kohanim cannot do Avoda while they're an Onain. And our Mishnah is teaching us, if he does, disqualifies the Avoda. Three, Tvul Yom. Tvul Yom refers to anyone who becomes Tameh and Tovel's in the Mikvah. He is almost Tahor. He has to wait till Harav Shemesh. He has to wait till the sun sets until it's nighttime. Once it's nighttime, he now finishes his Tahara process, and by nighttime, he is fully Tahor. So Tvul Yom, from the time he tovels in the mikvah, which is during the day, to the night, he is now partially tameh and partially tahor. He still has some residual tumah upon him, and the status that's given to him is tful yom. There's an entire masechta in Seder Taharos that discusses the status of tful yom, and good. And what we're learning in our Mishnah is that if the Kohen is a tful yom, and he does the avoda, disqualified. Four, mechusar kippurim. Mechusar kippurim refers to those people who are tameh, who don't finish their full Tahara process until day 8, when they have to bring a carbon on day 8. So that includes four people. Zav Zava, Yoledes Mitzora. Those four people who are Tamei need to go through the process of Mikvah and Harav Shemesh, toveling in the Mikvah and waiting until nightfall, but not yet. It's not, their Tahara process is not done yet. On the 8th day, they bring karbanos. From the night of the previous night until day number 8 when they bring their karban, they're in the state called Mechusar Kippurim. They're deficient in their kapara, in their atonement. And therefore, consequently, if they do the avoda, right, that would mean on the 8th day before they bring their karbanos, if they do the avoda, they disqualify the karban. Shelo rachatz yadayim v'raglayim. We are up to number 6. A kohen doesn't wash his hands and feet. I skipped one, right?
Yeah.
It's one way to get ahead. Mechusar begadim. Kohen is not wearing all of his clothing. Kohen Hedjo wears 4 clothing. Kohen Gadol wears 8 clothing. So if you're missing one of your begadim, no good. You are, you will disqualify the avoda. Shlorachas yadam v'raglaim. Kohen needs to wash his hands and feet from the kiur. There is a basin in the Beis HaMikdash. And before the Kohen can do the avoda, he must wash his hands and feet. Failure to do so results in disqualification of the karban. Number 7, Arel. Kohen doesn't have a bris milah. Kohen does not have a bris milah, cannot do the avoda. Rashi writes, Rashi always writes this. Count on Rashi. Every time we talk about Arel, count on Rashi to write that he is Kohen Shemesu Achav Machmas Milah. Meaning he's not a bad guy. In fact, the parents did the right thing by not giving a milah. His brothers died, right? He had a second brother who died machmas milah, and now the halacha is that you don't do a milah on the third baby. Sakanas nefesh. So unfortunately, or you know, whatever, the Ratzon HaBore is that this boy is not going to receive a bris milah. So, in other words, he's by any stretch of the imagination, he's not bad, he's not doing the wrong thing, but still, I guess we can call it a mum, it's like a blemish. He doesn't have a milah, and therefore he can't perform the avoda, and if he does, he disqualifies the avoda. Number 8, tame. Okay, simple. That if he's tame and he does the avoda, he disqualifies the avoda. It's kind of funny. In other words, once you have Tful Yom and once you have Mechusar Kippurim, so Tame seems to be obvious. Okay? Yoshev, a Kohen sitting. Right? Sitting is an unacceptable position to be in while doing the Avodah. You cannot sit. In general, you should know. Right? No one has the right to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. In general. Except for David. David HaMelech can sit in any...
Any king.
Davidic king. Okay, right. He can sit in the Beis HaMikdash, but no one else can sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And our Mishnah is teaching us that if you're sitting while doing the avoda, you disqualify the avoda. Number 9. No, I just did that. Number 10. Omed al gabe kelim al gabe behem al gabe ragle chavero. You're standing not on the floor, right? You're standing on utensils. You're standing on the legs of an animal. You're standing on someone else's legs, right? So another. It doesn't matter. Your feet has to make contact with the floor. Your feet not making contact with the floor. By the way, Kohanim obviously walked barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. They needed direct contact between their feet and the floor. Right? It wasn't comfortable in the cold winter months in the Beis HaMikdash. Stone floor in Yerushalayim. Nice cold day in Yerushalayim. They had a Beis HaMokah to the side of the Azara. Right? Perfect. Right? Good. Perfect. Keep it upside down. To the north of the... If you look to the right to the north, you see that room with a circle in the middle? So that's the Beis HaMokad. They actually had a running fire that in that room. North? The north room with the one with the circle on top. That circle, by the way, was a dome. Okay. Fine. So that room was a Beis HaMokad. They would have a fire running in that room all the time, so that when the Kohanim's feet were like bitter cold, so they would run to that room and get a little heat, get a little warmth. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah tells us that if a Kohen does the Avodah and his feet are not making contact with the floor, no good. That is a psul, that's the disqualification of the Avodah. Number 11, right? Kibba b'smol. What if he accepted the blood with his left hand? So on this 11th one, there's a controversy in the Mishnah. So the Tanakhama says that's no good, that's a disqualification. And Rabbi Shimon Machshon, Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. And the Gemara later on will discuss what the Nekuda Machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so stick with me as we now begin the Gemara. The Gemara will do what has been classically been doing for now for the past couple of days. And that is using Binyan Av, using Tzad HaShaveh, using some of its more classic methodology, trying to teach us where we learned this from. Meaning that you have to understand, for all 10 of the psulim of our Mishnah, what our Mishnah is telling us is a chiddush. Meaning it's more than they just can't do it. It's that if they do it, it's disqualified. Carbon, you throw out the carbon. That's it. Done. You got to restart the whole process with a new animal. Right, it's you've posted, you've disqualified, and so what now? The Gemara is going to do is it's going to seek sources, not just that it's usur, but more than that is that if it's done, it's disqualified. So we begin the Gemara. We'll start off with Zara non Kohen. Okay, the magic words we look for in the Torah that describe where it's disqualified is the word chilul. Whenever the Torah uses the word chilul or chilulua. So you know the Torah is telling us that's profaned, meaning it was holy, now you profaned it, and good. And that's the end of that discussion. Look at the first Tosfos on the page, Zar Va'onan. So the Gemara says, you notice that the Mishnah didn't talk about a Baal Mum, right? It's a great observation by Tosfos. You'll also notice the Mishnah didn't talk about Shesu Yayin, a Kohen who's drunk, Purei Rosh, a Kohen who didn't receive a haircut, right? Which a Kohen needs to do every 30 days. The Mishnah didn't talk about those cases. And they disqualify. They for sure disqualify. How come the Mishnah didn't talk about those? So Tosfos writes, the top Tosfos on the page, Mishum dichtiv behem chilul behedya. Because if you go open up Chumash and you open up Parshas Amor, you will see that in those cases, the Torah says, yeah, if those Kohanim do it, they're mechala. They profane. So I don't need a Mishnah. Meaning, remember, the Mishnah is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a complement to the Torah Shebechsav. If the Torah already tells me that blemished Kohen who does the Avod is Mechalal, the Mishnah, I don't need a Mishnah now to tell me that, so that Tosfos says, good. Mishnah is not going to talk about a Baal Mum and Shesui Yayin and Purei Rosh because explicitly mentioned in Chumash these ideas that they are disqualifying. Our Mishnah, the 10 cases of our Mishnah, and 11th, if you want to talk about Kibbutz the Small, right? The 10 cases of our Mishnah are discussing cases where the Torah does not tell us. The Torah tells us that it's no good, but the Torah doesn't tell us that they disqualify the Avoda.
The Braisa and Yantam, how's this happen? That Shikor is
Zara, the owning Shikor, Ba'amun, Mekabal, Ba'olach, Vizrika, Pasal. Yeah. Could, right, I guess also maybe over there wants to talk about halacha vis-a-vis the halacha. But you're right. You're right. He does talk about shikur. It's a good observation. Very good observation. Okay, zar minalan. Zar, how do we know that a non kohen does the avoda? He disqualifies the avoda. Did ni Levi daber al aron ve'albanav le'mor ve'inazru mikachshe b'nei Yisrael. Ve'inazru over here means you should distance yourself. Nazir, we always talk about nazir in terms of this guy who's holy, and which is true, but the word nazir means to distance yourself, right? Separation. So v'inazru mikachei b'nei Yisrael. So b'nei Yisrael need to distance themselves from the avoda. It's not their business. They shouldn't be doing it. So the Gemara over here darshans the pasuk b'nei Yisrael lamutei mai. Now we say b'nei Yisrael should distance themselves. Who are we talking to? Who's the Torah talking to when they said this requirement of distancing? Elam lamutei nashim. What are they talking about? They're talking about women. So karban nashim atum akrav. That the Gemara says here. There's no reason why it would be singling out women in the world of offering something in the state of tumah. There's no difference. There's no reason why I would delineate between women, a woman and a man. Elam lamutei of the kochav. And so the Gemara says, oh, so we must be saying that when you're a non-Jew. So, the Torah is telling us that he needs to distance himself from the. I'm sorry, we're saying B'nai Yisrael to exclude of the Kochavim. So the Gemara says that's also not. It's also not who we're talking. It's not the subject of the pasuk. Hashtet sitzlam meratzad amar marva of the Kochavim beimishog beim bemezit lo hutza b'tumah krav. So the Gemara says, look, there's. We find that the tzitz is that head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol. So it has some powers to it. Nothing mystical over here. Nothing supernatural. But the power of the tzitz is that if a tamei carbon goes on the mizbeach for shogeg, so the tzitz is maratza, the tzitz makes it acceptable. Now we'll talk more about this later on. That's only true by a carbon that's brought by a Jew. Tzitz has no effect on a carbon brought by a non-Jew, meaning if it's tamei, it remains tamei, and it's simply unacceptable. So the Torah's exclusion over here, right, B'nai Yisrael, you can't bring Betumah, and Goyim can? It's simply not true. El Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, after realizing that... After Shechtin. So El Hachi Kamar, V'inazru Mikachi B'nai Yisrael V'lo Yichalu, V'inazru Mikachi B'nai Yisrael V'lo Yichalu. So the way Rashi understands it, it goes like this. We're going to break up the Pasuk. The first part of the pasuk, Ve'inazru mikachei, Rashi, five lines from the bottom of the page, Yizrachu mitumei mikol kachim. Meaning that whenever any of the kachim becomes tamei, stay away. Meaning, just have nothing to do with it. Fine. Period. And B'nei Yisrael lo yichalalu, we're going to treat that as an independent clause. Rashi explains, Hazarim af him yinazru kidesha lo yichalum. Jews should stay away, Jews meaning non-Kohanim. Any non-Kohen, any Tzar, should stay away from doing the Avodah, because if he does, Yechalalu, he'll come to profane, he'll come to desecrate. Okay? So that is option one, in terms of how we know that if a Tzar does the Avodah, he will violate, not just violate, but desecrate the Avodah that he does, and we learn it from the Pasuk of B'nei Yisrael, Lo Yechalalu. Okay, it's a chiddush though, because what we did is we took a pasuk and we just kind of chopped it right in half, and we broke up a pasuk, and it's really not the simple pshat in the pasuk, but fine. That's option one. The Gemara is going to go to option number two. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Aste Bekav Chomer Mi Bamum. So now we're going to go to our classic methodology of trying to derive it based on a Kal V'chomer. So we're going to go to a Baal Mum. Now remember Tosfos on the top of the page. A Baal Mum is explicitly mentioned in Chumash where if you have a blemished Kohen, when we get to Becharos, you have to wait a little bit. When we get to Becharos, we'll discuss what exactly are the blemishes. I mean, the Torah describes it in Parshas Emor, but okay, we're gonna see it in depth in when we get to Becharos. So Im avad chila. Now, a Balmum is interesting because a Balmum, when you're a blemished Kohen, you can't do the avoda, but you can sit down and eat. You can eat carbon, even kachikachim, right? So it's fast. It's a, he's in a fascinating position of kahuna. He right. So if he does the avoda, it's no good, and it's disqualified. Disqualify the avoda. In the meantime, however, after the avoda was done, and now you have a zichrei kohuna, the male kohanim is sitting in the azara. I said the word sitting. They can't, right? It's, you know, it's a shmork. It's buffet. So standing in the azara. I never realized that, by the way. The zichrei kohuna can only, right? They can only eat it standing up, right? So they're standing in the azara and they're eating. They can invite the baal mum who couldn't have done the avoda. They can invite him in to eat the chatas and the asham. Fine. So now that you know that, the Kal V'chomer seems to be an excellent Kal V'chomer. So, Bamum, ma Bamum, Shochel, Im Avad Chilel, Zar, She'eno Ochel, Eno Din, She'in, Im Avad Chilel. So the Gemara builds what seems to be a very strong Kal V'chomer. Look, we certainly know that the Bamum can't do the Avodah, and yet he can eat. If a non-Kohen can't do the Avodah, so for sure, the avoda that he does is chalal, is profaned. So good. So it seems to be a very good Kal V'chomer, but the Gemara challenges.
Kal V'chomer based on the fact that he cannot eat, and the because of that he cannot do the avoda, or
does right? He can't. We know he can't eat. He can't eat kachikachim, right? And he can't eat. So therefore, if he does the avoda, he's going to disqualify the avoda. Good. So the Gemara says, "Malabalmum shekein asabo krav kemakriv." You're right. But I'll tell you something that is unique in the world of Baal Mum that you don't have anywhere else. Baal Mum disqualifies not only the Kohen, but the animal as well. The Krav and the Makriv. Meaning that this concept of Baal Mum disqualifies both Kohen and animal. Okay, and again, we'll get to Bechoritz, we'll discuss what are definitions of Baal Mum, but still, in concept, Baal Mum is kind of a universal disqualifier. Disqualifying the Kohen who does the Avodah and the animal who is the avodah is being done upon. You don't. There's no zahar by an animal, huh?
Doesn't it mean that the either one that's a baal mum passes?
Right.
Either the kohen or the
or the animal.
Or the animal.
Right. So it writes the asabo krav kamakriv. So and you don't have that feature by a zahar by non kohen. Right. There's no such thing as a zahar by an animal. Right. It doesn't exist. So the Kal V'chomer is good, but the comparison is bad because you have this unique feature by Baal Mum. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go to another. Let's go to Tamei Yochiach. So the Tamei should prove. And what are we saying that by the Tamei? So if a Tamei does the avoda, he disqualifies. So if a Zar does the avoda, he disqualifies. So the Gemara says, Mala Tamei Shekein Mitamei. So the Gemara says, okay, good, but by Tamei, you have a feature. Communicable, right? If someone's Tamei, so he touches somebody else, depending on his level of Tumah, obviously, but if he touches someone else, he can communicate his Tumah. That's not true by Zar. Zar is not a communicable illness. I touch a Kohen, the Kohen doesn't become a non-Kohen, right? So you're comparing Tamei to Zar, and that's also not a good comparison. Bamum Yochich. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So I can't construct a Kal V'chomer from Baal Mum. I can't construct a Kal V'chomer from Tamei. So what I'll do is I'll take the two together and I'll use a common denominator. So Mum Yechich v'chazer din lori zeh kiri zeh v'lori zeh kiri zeh ha'tzad ha'shav ha'shabem she'muzarim v'im avdu chilalu. We know that both in the cases of Tuma, of a Tamei and a Baal Mum, if they do the avoda, they're mechalal. Avani avizar shehu muzar v'im avad chilal. So the same thing is going to be true with a non-Kohen. If he does the Avodah, he's Mechalal. And we're using now the Tzara Shava, the common denominator between the two.
Wait, what's the logic behind that again? If those two have a common denominator, what's their...
So the common denominator is that they can't do the avoda, and if they do the avoda, they're mechalo. So too, the Tzar, the non-Kohen, if he does the avoda, he's mechalo. Okay? And it's true that each one of them has a unique feature. The Balmom is Krav Kemakriv. The Tameh is communicable. So each one has its own unique feature. So good. So we won't look at each one individually. We'll look at the two of them collectively. Good. So Minalan de Mozart. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So, but still though, we're not yet done. Because we have to know that a non-Kohen can't do the Avoda. Meaning, this Kavachomer is establishing disqualification. But before you get to the point of disqualification, I have to have a baseline. I first need to know that a non-Kohen can't do the Avoda. So the Gemara just simply wants to know now, where do we establish that fact? And don't go back to the pasuk that we quoted earlier of Yinazru. Because if that's the source, well, that the pasuk says is Mechala. And the Kal Vachomer is not built upon that. The Kal Vachomer is built on the fact that we know they can't do it, and the Kal Vachomer is telling us that if they do it, it's disqualified. So where's the pasuk? Ela mivizar lo yakriv aleichem. So it comes from the pasuk of zar lo yakriv aleichem that a non-Kohen cannot be makriv, cannot do the avoda. Good. All right. So we have our baseline. And then on top of that, the Kal Vachomer tells us that if they do it, it's disqualified. Igel Mifrach, the Gemara says, okay, but even after all this, still I can ask the question on the common denominator. There is no permission to do this on the Bama. Historically, we will speak a lot about this throughout Zvachim. Historically, there was a period of time where we could make a little altar in our backyard and offer carbon right in our backyard, right? Backyard barbecue carbon. Only could be done by neder nedava, can't be done by an obligatory carbon, but who can do it? So I don't need to call my local Kohen. I can do it myself. I can go into my backyard and do it all myself, right? So this is true by a Zar. However, a Baal Mum can't do it, a Tameh can't do it, so even when I'm trying to compare and use my Kal Vachomer from Bama and Tameh, and I'm trying to learn out from a non-Kohen, but Bama Yochiach, but when I look at the mini altar in the backyard, I see that there's a difference. There clearly is a difference. Because I'm acceptable, mean, the non-Kohen. I could do the Avodah in my backyard, and meanwhile a Bama and a Tameh cannot.
Did the backyard have the four components?
What, did it have the four Avodahs? And we'll talk, again, this is... With the Gemara later on, we'll talk in detail about the Bamas and all the rules about Bamas.
What was the purpose of that?
I could bring a carbon.
Shlomo.
Right? I'll bring a... Just a simple... Right? Rashi over here gives a short list of people who we saw do it. And are non-Kohanim. Okay? So, yep. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov did as well. But they're pretty Sinai, so... You know, so we, you know, kind of. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. Lo tema, so Gemara says, Shalohu Shabbama. Lo tema, tama yochiach ela ema, onen yochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's do this. Let's take out tama, let's replace tama with onen. And let's construct our argument using an onen. And the Gemara now is assuming that as far as an onen is concerned, he could work the backyard bama. Otherwise, we didn't gain anything by taking Tameh and replacing it with Onen. Okay? So, Mala Onen Shekein also B'Meiser. The Gemara says, okay, but there's a unique feature by Onen. Onen is not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni. Right? He's disqualified from eating even the quote-unquote lighter forms of Kachim. Right? Meiser, he can't eat Meiser Sheni. So, Ba'amom Yochech, so the Gemara says, okay, but a blemish Kohen can eat Meiser. So, and again, we know the Baal Mum by himself can't stand alone as a Kal Vachomer because of his Krav Kemakriv. So, Bechazor Din, Lori Zekri Zeva, Lori Zekri Zat, Sada Shefa Shebehem, Shemuzarin, Vechulei. And the Gemara says, okay, so look, we'll use now a common denominator based on combining Onen with Baal Mum. Hachanami, Lifrach Malat Sada Shefa Shem, and Shekein Lohu Shebamama. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm telling you, an Onen can't work the Bama. So we're back to square one. Meaning even when I put Onen and Tameh together, I'm sorry, Onen and Baal Mum together, but they can't work the backyard bama. So there's a fundamental difference between them and the Zohar. So the Gemara says, Maskevlar of summer braid rava uman lemalanda onin asbebama demashari bebama. So the Gemara says, I don't know if that's true. Maybe an onin can work the backyard bama. And so, and if that's true, Gemara is kind of strange in the way it formulates its question. But man lemalan, who told us? But essentially, what the Gemara is saying is, look, if an onin can work the backyard bama, so then we have a good kal v'chomer, a good sada shava. Anyone. In other words, we're talking about the backyard bama. Rav Mishar Shama Asi kal v'chomer mi yoshev. The Gemara says, let's try it this way. Let's build a kal v'chomer based on a kohen who's sitting. My yoshev she'ochel imavad chilel. Zar she'enu ochel, eno din she'ama avad chila. Now, a yoshev, so he can't do the avoda. At the same time, however, is he disqualified from eating? No. Okay, a zar, who is disqualified from eating, so can't you make now a simple kavachomer, that if he does the avoda, he's mechalo? So the Gemara says, mali yoshev, she'kein pasol le'edus. All right, but there's a unique feature by yoshev. You know when someone's sitting, he can't give testimony. Not allowed to give testimony. One of the halachas of giving testimony is that the witness has to stand. Right? Rashi quotes the pasuk v'amdu, that they stand. That it's going on those that are actually giving the testimony. Miyoshir tamachacham. So the Gemara says, okay, but there is one case where someone is allowed to sit and give testimony. That's tamachacham. Right? Tamachacham because of the cover that we have to give him. So he does not have to be, quote unquote, I guess we'll say it, embarrassed, right, to have to stand, so he can remain sitting and give testimony while sitting. Male shem yoshev shekain pasal edus. So the Gemara says, okay, you are right. He is an exception, but the rule is that a witness has to stand when giving testimony. So if that's the fundamental rule, so then I can't compare someone sitting to a non-Kohen because of this unique feature that someone sitting cannot give testimony. Shem Yoshev Lo Parach, the Gemara says, well, we don't ask questions. Meaning, I agree, it is a fundamental rule, but so what? If there's an exception, so that shows you that you cannot say unilaterally by someone sitting, oh, he can't be compared. V'imtem Salam Parach, Asim Yoshev Amichad Amahanach, the Gemara says, or what we'll do is we'll use Yoshev with any of the other disqualifications we discussed earlier. A Bamom, a Tamei, an Onein, and from there we'll arrive at the conclusion that using the common denominator of any of the others and Yoshev will show that a non-Kohen, if he does the Avodah, is Mechala. The Yoshev, Dekash, Bama, Minalan, and again, all this is assuming that a Yoshev can do a Bama. How do we know that? Amakra, Lamo, Lifnei Hashem, Lasharso. Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Bama. This requirement of standing is only Lifnei Hashem, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're back home and you have your backyard Bama, you don't need to stand while doing the Avoda. You may sit while doing the Avoda. Period. Okay, that takes us to the first step of our Mishnah. We now have established, either through a Pasuk or through the Limud of the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, we have established that a non-Kohen cannot do the Avoda, and if he does, the Avoda is disqualified. Okay? For the remainder of today, we talk now about an Onein. It's Misa, Zar who does the Avoda is Misa B'dei Shamayim. It's pretty close to Karis.
Yeah.
Agreed. But it's not Karis. Okay. Onein. So now we talk about an Onein. Remember the definition of Onein, a Kohen who lost one of the seven relatives, two parents, two children, a husband, a wife, and siblings. Okay, so two up, two down, two across.
Children.
And, huh?
Children.
Yeah, either mom or dad, or son or daughter, or brother, sister, non-married sister, or his spouse. In any one of those cases, he's now an Onein, and for the balance of that day, he cannot do the avoda. If he does the avoda for the balance of that day, even after the funeral, the avoda is mischalal, it is profaned. Okay. How do we know this? Minalan. So again, right, it's not mentioned explicitly in the Chumash that the avoda that he does is disqualified, and so the Gemara now, from this point forward, will try to ascertain How do I know that's disqualified? So, Oine Minalan Dechsiv and Amikdash Lo Yetze Velo Yichalel. Ha Acher Shelo Yetze Chilel. The Torah, in describing the Kohen Gadol, says when you're a Kohen Gadol, so Lo Yetze. So he doesn't leave the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, he's a Kohen Gadol. He's got an unbelievably significant status, right? Unique status, more than any other Kohen. And the Torah says, by him, if he's an Onein, don't leave the Beis Hamikdash. Stay in the Beis Hamikdash. And obviously what the Torah is telling us is, stay in the Beis Hamikdash and do the Avoda. So the Gemara now makes a simple diuk. You, the Kohen Gadol, you got to stay in the Beis Hamikdash. You got to do the Avoda. The rest of the Kohanim cannot.
What is there if it's not regular day?
Well, first of all, he can do any avoda he wants at any given point in time he wants. He's a Kohen Gadol. He could step in.
But it's not required. Only he's required to do it.
I understand, but the Torah says.
So
good, understood. But the Torah says that he stays in the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, also the Torah, in addition to telling us that, the Torah is also saying that he has no right to go to the funeral. Unfortunately, he cannot go to the funeral.
Where did he is standing all day?
I know. Well, they, you know, they walk outside the Azara to take a little break. So, v'nei mikdash lo yetze v'lo yichal ha'acher shelo yetze chilo Rabbi Lazar ma mihacha hein he krivu. We're going to come to back to the story a lot. So, let me just give you quickly the storyline, and then I'll explain this next proof, and then we'll finish for today. The first day of Nisan. And upon the inauguration of the Mishkan in the desert, it was an extraordinarily special day and a tragic day, right? On that day, it was the first day of Nisan, right? The Mishkan has already been prepped and prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? For 7 days prior to that, he was setting up the Mishkan, disassembling it, and now you get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of inauguration. So Nadav and Avihu offer their Eish Zara, the strange fire, and the two of them die. Okay? So now, of the five Kohanim who existed, who lived at that point in time, two of the five died. Okay? It's a tremendous tragedy. And the show must go on, meaning that, okay, but it's the first day of inauguration. So what happened was is that there was a lot of Karbanos that were brought, and you'll see this, you go to the end of Parsha Shmini, and you read the story inside, and the Chatas that was brought on that day was not consumed. It was burnt. Aaron burned the carbon chatzas, and you had a fight. You had a fight break out between Moshe and Aaron in terms of, I say fight, by the way, I mean argument, obviously. But an argument broke out between Moshe and Aaron as to the propriety of that act. Meaning, Moshe thought, what are you doing? It's a carbon chatzas. You're supposed to eat the carbon chatzas, as is the case with any carbon chatzas. And Aaron obviously disagreed. And we'll go through more detail about what the Nekuda Machlokas was between Moshe and Aaron, but right now, for our purposes, just understand, Aaron is an Onan. Elazar and Isamar are also Onanim. Right? They're Onanes. So, right, and Aaron was a Kohen Gadol, and Elazar and Itamar were the other Kohanim. So, So here, let's just hit this line of Gemara. Rabbi Lazar Mamehacha, Hein he krivu, meaning it's what's being said over here is they, Elazar and Itamar, they didn't bring the carbon chatas, right? Aaron brought the carbon chatas. So in other words, if they brought the carbon chatas, I understand. They're not the Kohen Gadol. They have no right to do so. And more than that, if they brought the carbon chatas, it would have been disqualified, and you would have every right to burn the carbon chatas. But they're not the ones who brought it. You brought it. You, Aaron, are the Kohen Gadol. You, Aaron, have the right to bring it, even though you're in a state of aninus. And therefore, Moshe's saying, I don't understand why it was burnt. But meanwhile, you brought it, and you did not profane the carbon chatas. Good. So this is another possible source in terms of how we know that if an Onan does the Avoda, it's disqualified, based on the dialogue that takes place between Moshe and Aaron. So, Hena Krivo, Aniya Krafti, right? So, Hena Krivo, this is Aaron talking to Moshe. Aniya Krafti, I'm the one who brought it. Mechlal, and the Gemara makes a simple diuk. Di Inu Akriv Shapir Istarif. So, and the Gemara just finishing up this thread. So the Gemara says, and how come Rabbi Elazar didn't like that first pasuk of Min HaMikdash, which is talking about the Kohen Gadol? So he says, look, I don't like that because you made a diuk in the Chumash. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know the Torah is telling you that if some other Kohen, other than the non-Kohen, does the Avodah, he disqualifies it? Maybe all the Torah is just trying to tell us is, you, the Kohen Gadol, you have a positive requirement to stay in the Beis HaMikdash and to continue doing the Avodah, but we can't necessarily deduce from there that if a non-Kohen does it, he's Mechala. And the Edich, my time alo amar mehein, he krivu. And what about the opinion of... The first opinion brought down, how come he didn't like that dialogue of Moshe and Aaron? So, Kasavim imne turma nisrafa, because he disagrees. In other words, he doesn't think that the reason why the carbon was burned had anything to do with Aninus. He says that it was a function of turma. Okay? And later on in the Masechta, I'll explain this better in terms of what the other side of the argument is, in terms of Moshe and Aaron. Okay, but in the meantime, however, we are right now, so far we started the second parak of Zvachim. We've discussed the 10, possibly 11 people who will disqualify the karban if they do the avoda from Kabbalah Sadam Me'elech. We have established that a non-Kohen disqualifies either through Psukim or through Binyanav. And now we're in the middle of Onain, and the Gemara has entertained two Psukim as being the source in terms of how we know that if an Onain does the avoda, he disqualifies the carbon. Continue tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.